So I'm relatively certain the majority of you have heard the phrase where I got my sermon title from, but what are the devil's playthings? Nobody? Idle hands? Nobody else's grandparents told them that? Idle hands are devil's plaything? We'll take your word on it, Brother Don, that The Devil's Playthings is a bad movie that we shouldn't see. So thank you. Thank you for passing that along. So your grandparents might have said it because, honestly, it's been around forever. Chaucer used it in the 12th century and said the idle hands were the devil's tools. But the concept of that is even older than that. Proverbs 18:9 says, "One who is slack in work is close kin to a vandal." But again, that idea of idle hands, idle hands being the devil's playthings, the devil's workshop, the devil's tools, however that phraseology rolls out, why is it so bad? I mean, as I was prepping the sermon and I thought about that, I'm thinking to myself, I don't know, I'm trying to get my kids to have idle hands because their hands are always on their phone, a remote, or a game controller. I mean, I wish my kids' hands were a little more idle in some way, shape, or form, and I think all of us could probably use a little more quietness and simplicity in our lives. But I don't think that's what that phrase is really getting at. What I think it's getting at is something I believe it is pointing to something that is a major problem in today's society, and I would even describe it as a disease of the soul. Just listen to how some anonymous person put it. The most costly disease is not cancer or coronaries. The most costly disease is boredom. Costly for both the individual and society. Boredom. That terrible combination of weariness and apathy and listlessness and unconcern. When you are bored, it seems that just the colors of the world are just shades of gray. We can get to the point where nothing just matters. To put it in the vernacular of the young folk, whatever. Right? They use that. I mean, they are so bored that they aren't even willing to put a thought to what you have to say, and so that whatever word just covers it all. If you are saying whatever, you're probably struggling with boredom. But here's the thing. Our approach toward life is the greatest determining factor in whether we find our lives as Christians as boring or filled with wonder. How you are approaching life, and the choice is yours, and we see that scripturally. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death. So this is a broad, broad verse. There's a lot of things that you could point that to. There's multiple things that fit. But I think when it comes to boredom, I think that absolutely kind of fits in there. And I think when it comes to boredom, honestly, most people that are bored are living a life that is toward the path of least resistance. The easiest way. They are looking for just the simplest, easiest way to go through life. And here's the thing. They think that because it's easy, it's the best. And what did Proverbs say? It seems right to that person, right? There are people that don't like to be challenged. They don't like to do the hard stuff. But here's what Jesus intended. And I've preached on this. I've used this verse I don't know how many times. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. None of you are going to argue this fact with me that Jesus Christ, as he talked about the abundant life, included boredom in it. Boredom and abundant cannot exist in the same place. It doesn't work that way. And though boredom is not a sin, it definitely increases the temptation and the likelihood of it. Thus the sermon title, Idle Hands Are the Devil's Playthings. I mean, when you think about boredom, just think about the ways that people deal with it. Passive entertainment, right? You plop in front of your chair and the screen rolls. And here's the thing, there is not anything inherently wrong about passive entertainment in moderation. Now, I just made the statement to you that I thought boredom was a disease of the soul, and I absolutely believe. Here's the problem with passive entertainment. It does not feed your soul. Now, there might be a movie every once in a while. Beth and I went and saw Unbroken, the second one, Friday. Good movie. I would suggest that because those kind of media feed the soul. But by and large, sports, most television shows, those kind of things kill time, but they do very little that make any difference in my heart and soul. So people deal with boredom with passive entertainment consumerism. There are people that legitimately are going and they go and they spend their hard-earned money to buy something because it gives them a little bit of an adrenaline boost and it gives them that little bit of feel. And then they go home, they hang it in their closet, they never use it, the tag is on it, and it shows up right over there. Why'd they buy it if they didn't need it? Because I'm bored. How about the addictions? Eating, drinking, drugs, sex, boredom. And boredom makes sin look more enticing. If you are bored, you are looking for something to get you out of boredom. And I will tell you, when you're really bored, sin starts to look better than it should. Now, what causes boredom? Richard Winter, author of Still Bored in a Culture of Entertainment, suggests three things: understimulation, repetition, and disconnection. And when I thought about that list, I thought, you know what? All of those things come under our current media, understimulation. Again, if you are passively entertaining yourself, just watching shows and all that stuff, that doesn't stimulate the deeper parts of who you are. I mean, unless you're watching science shows or something that maybe challenge you intellectually, or a movie that, again, speaks to something spiritually within you, just sitting in front of the boob tube 5, 6, 7 hours a night, you are understimulated. Repetition. Get up, do my thing, go to work, come home, eat, and plop down in the same exact place night in and night out. Is that going to cause boredom? Repetition. Disconnection. I think one of the reasons why boredom is worse now than it was, say, 30 years ago, people actually had other people over for dinner. People actually read books. People actually joined social clubs, got out of their house, got out of their own way, and went and did something. We have all this wonderful thing called social media and all these things where we can still connect with people and not leave the comfort of our chair. We live in a world of disconnection. I sit there and I look and I watch the anger and the angst and all this stuff going on in America, and you will not convince me otherwise, but part of that is people are not connected anymore. And when you're hurt and when you're all lonely, what do? You lash out. You're angry. There are people that we are angry at. They don't even know what they're angry at. But they don't have, they're bored and they don't have connections. So we live in this culture of boredom. I mean, it's no surprise that boredom's not a good thing. So how do we deal with it? Well, let's see what the wisdom of King Solomon, arguably one of the wisest people in the scriptures, had to say about it. So we're going to read Ecclesiastes 9, 1 through 12, page 541 in the Pew Bible. And I loved how our Bible titled it, Take Life as It Comes. Verse 1, all this I laid to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hands of God. Whether it is love or hate, one does not know. Everything that confronts them is vanity, since the same fate comes to all, to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and to the evil, to the clean and unclean, to those who sacrifice and those who do not sacrifice. As are the good, so are the sinners. Those who swear are like those who shun an oath. This is an evil in all that happens under the sun, that the same fate comes to everyone. Moreover, the hearts of all are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. But whoever is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. The living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no more reward, and even the memory of them is lost. Their love and their hate, their envy have already perished. Never again will they have any share in all that happens under the sun. Go eat your bread with enjoyment. Drink your wine and merry heart with a merry heart, for God has long ago approved what you do. Let your garments always be white. Do not let the oil and lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that are giving you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to the skillful. But time and chance happen to them all. For no one can anticipate the time of disaster. Like fish taken in a cruel net, birds caught in a snare, so mortals are snared at the time of calamity when it suddenly falls upon them. So I know whenever we read Old Testament, there's just sometimes the verbiage and all that stuff is difficult. But I'm going to point out just a few things because I think he hints at important ways that we are to deal with boredom. And we're going to start with verse 10. First statement, whatever your hands find to do, or as Eugene Peterson, author of The Message, put it, whatever turns up, grab it and do it. The challenge here is to really try to live in the presence. If there is something before you, something that needs to be done, sink your teeth into it, even if it seems tedious, even if it might seem small, even if it might seem insignificant. There's something about completing something and doing it well. C.H. Spurgeon, one of the great theologians and preachers, once stated that one good deed is worth more than 1,000 brilliant theories. One good deed is better than 1,000 brilliant theories. If you are struggling with boredom, if you just can't get out of it, don't sit there and take it. Find something to do. Better yet, find something to do that helps somebody else and do it. Then that next phrase, do it with your might. What does this talk about? Passion. Bring passion to what you do. The Bible tells us that we can do all things unto God, that anything we do, we can bring glory to God. Martin Luther once, the father of Protestantism, once said that a dairymaid can milk cows for the glory of God. If you can milk cows for the glory of God, then you can find something to do to bring his... And again, regardless of how mundane it might be, it's about attitude. So much of life is about attitude. How you face what you face. Because here's the thing. This life is way too short, too precious, and too fragile to just let it fritter away with a spirit of passivity or blahness. You as a Christ follower need to live this life with enthusiasm and joy and passion and zeal and a commitment. And you can do that despite the fact what you might find yourself doing. Why? Because if you're doing it for God versus looking at the job through your human eyes and your human brokenness, you can look at it in an entirely different way. Because here's the thing, and this is the next part. Solomon says it, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol. What is he saying? In essence, he's saying, look, life is short. You'd better do what you can while you can, because on the other side, the rules change. Now, he definitely has that Old Testament view of the afterlife. We get a different vibe, New Testament, in heaven, right? There's things to do. There's still pursuits to follow. But he's basically saying, look, once you're dead, you're dead. It's done. It's a done deal. And here's the thing. Even if what you find to do seems small, it is still worthwhile. Look at verse 4. Whoever is joined with all the living as hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. There's some wisdom for you today. Take that home, right? Something small that you do that accomplishes something is better than some big dream or some grandiose plan that you never get off the ground. I think we have to have a balance, right? My dad, when I was young, used to call me a dreamer, and that was not a compliment. It wasn't. He is the eldest child. He is Mr. Practical, Mr. Responsible to the nth degree, and he had this son who was the baby of the family that had a creative mind like his mother, and I used to drive that man nuts. Why? Because the dream was here and practicality is here, and it never seemed anything would meet in the middle. And we need that, right? I'm not telling you to give up on your dreams, but sometimes the dream's going to come, and right now there is something for you to do right now, and you're looking at it, and it might be beneath you, or it might not like blow your hair back. You don't get excited, but that is what you have in front of you. Do it. Just grab hold of it. Because a living dog is better than a dead lion. Take that, write it, hang it on your fridge, all right? Because even in that seemingly insignificant, even in those little things, God can use. And again, maybe you're sitting here and you have not accomplished what you dreamed when you were young. Maybe, man, you had these plans and it just didn't seem to go. And guess what? We all probably have disappointments from our early lives. Guess what? You can't change it. But today you can choose to continue to push forward, to continue to strive, continue to be faithful with whatever God is having you to do, no matter how small or, again, seemingly insignificant, because God can use that in ways that you cannot even imagine for him. A simple job, an easy job done well to the glory of God still gives God glory. A big, fantastic, audacious job that doesn't put God in the equation does what? What do you think God prefers? He wants our hearts. He wants us to do it for him. Because here's the other thing that Solomon reminds us of. Verse 12. No one can anticipate the time of disaster. Fish in a net, birds in a snare, no mortals. What is he talking about? He is pondering the brevity of life. You know, I've done multiple funerals, and you can tell, A, there's a loss and all that stuff, but one of the things that we don't like is, especially when a young person dies in an accident, all of us at a certain point, if we allow our minds to go there, think, that could be me. None of us are promised to get out those doors this morning. And even though that can sound grim and dark, that's the reality of this life. None of us know, and so we have to look at each day as the gift from God that it is. Don't settle for the mundane. Don't live your life simply like you're waiting for death. Live it. God intends you to grasp hold of it and live it. The abundant life is not mundane. The abundant life is not boring. Again, look at verses 7 through 9, and I'm going to read it to you in the message. Seize life. Eat bread with gusto. Drink wine with a robust heart. Oh, yes, God takes pleasure in your pleasure. Dress festively every morning. Don't skimp on color and scarves. Relish life with the spouse you love. Each and every day of your precarious life, each day is God's gift. It's all you get in exchange for the hard work of staying alive. Make the most of each one. I mean, read that. The fact that I read that and didn't get an amen worries me. All right? This is a happy sermon. This is one of those guys. God takes pleasure in your pleasure. If you ever just like drove through and like a sunset or a sunrise will catch your eye and it'll take your breath away. God doesn't have to do that. He does it for our enjoyment. How many things in this life do you take joy from? How many of those things are from God? All of them. Absolutely all of them. And here we read verses like this and we settle for sitting in a chair watching something mind-numbing and not embracing what God has for us. Your life is a gift, and tomorrow is not promised you. Don't settle for boredom. Don't settle for the mundane. Because here's the other thing. I think we as Christians have no excuse for boredom. Again, we need to do what's in front of us, whether it blows our hair back or not. Do it with passion because attitude changes everything. Live every day like the gift that it is. And then I'm going to add one more thing that wasn't on Solomon's list but comes from the scripture. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Give thanks, or as that old hymn says, count your many blessings. Another quote I came across from Anonymous as I was prepping this sermon is, boredom is the self being stuffed with itself. When we take all of our focus and just make it about us, for good or for bad, we just make it about us, boredom probably quickly follows because, you know, frankly, you're not that interesting. I'm not that interesting. Compared to this world, compared to everything God wants us to encounter, if our focus is only just on us, no wonder you're bored. We get in trouble when we focus too much on ourselves. In being thankful, Not just, Lord, thank you for your stuff, but truly taking an inventory of the ways that God has blessed us. It turns our focus back to God, which again helps us change our cruddy attitude and gives us a better perspective. Again, God blesses us. I mean, I think all of you should write that Ecclesiastes 9, 7 through 9, and put under, seize life, eat bread with gusto, enjoy it, embrace it, relish your spouse, all those things. That's God's intention for us. But the other thing we see here is not only to live in a life of thankfulness and being thankful for those things that God does give us, is it says this, whatever you do, do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. Or as the Living Translation says, whatever you do, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's this. We as Christians have a big enough and hard enough task of trying to point this culture to Christ, right? It's not easy. It is not easy to engage and point people to Christ in our current culture. It's way harder if they deem you as a boring, or Christianity as a boring endeavor. Nowhere in here does this call Christianity. And if people are looking at your life going, you know what, the whole Jesus thing makes sense and I'm interested, but I don't think I could live that life. And they're judging it because they're watching you, then there's a problem. We are told to live with enthusiasm and zeal and all those things. Imagine this. Imagine if someone put a name tag on every action you did, good or bad. Right? So you went and did this, or you made this, or whatnot, and there it is. Chad, Don, Dave, Amber. Okay? Everything you did is attached to that, right? Would it change anything? I think it would, because if we're honest with ourselves, I think sometimes we don't put our best foot forward because we either think nobody's watching or nobody really gives a rip. And so we can do it halfway and walk away and fine. But if your name was on, everyone rolled into church and they could look at that and go, oh, you did this. Yeah. That's quite the effort. That's fantastic. But here's the thing. Jesus' name is on what you do. If Christ is in your life, people are watching how you live as a Christian. Every careless word, every stupid action, they are judging our faith. They are judging Jesus Christ by what you bring to the table. The boredom thing is included in that. I mean, boredom seems to communicate either God did it wrong or he doesn't care. Which is absolutely, incredibly far from the truth. Again, when you read this word and you listen to how much God loves us and what he's done for us and all the ways that we have blessed us, and if you can open your eyes every day and walk through this life being aware of who he is and his presence in your life and the opportunities he gives you to impact the kingdom, Christians should never be bored. Folk singer Joan Baez once remarked, you don't get to choose how you're going to die or when. You get to only decide how you're going to live now. I don't know about her theology. I don't know about her politics, but she was dead on with this one. Boredom is a warning sign that you are living for self when you ought to be living for God. If you are bored, it's because you have chosen to live a boring life. Boredom is not an issue of bad circumstances. It's a disease of the soul caused by excessive self-focus. So I leave you with this question. Are you bored with life? If so, I would encourage you to crawl out of yourself. Make a new commitment to the Lord, because life is never boring when you are 100% committed to Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father God, you're a good God, and we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that you love us enough to speak hard truth in our lives. And Lord, we, all of us admit to a certain degree that we get wrapped up into the things of this world, whether it's passive entertainment, whether it's social media, whether it's whatever. And we settle. We get into this groove of life, and we just kind of go through the motions. And that's not what you have for us. You have blessed us with so many things that should stir our passion and our zeal and our enthusiasm. And as we lay down our lives for others and we lay down our lives for you, you show up and you use us and you give us that just love for life. Help us recognize that idea that every day is a gift from you. Every day is an opportunity to worship you. Every day is an opportunity to take the joy of your creation. Every day is an opportunity to build a relationship with someone and a true relationship that brings meaning to both lives. Every day is an opportunity to build the kingdom of God. And we confess too often we let that slip. So this morning, help us to recommit to you, that we will daily seek you and daily just walk in your presence, looking for opportunities to show you our love, show others our love, and to just take every day as the gift that it is. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.